in our daily living. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust the words of the Lord comforts and assures us, even through the songs that we sung this morning in worship, acknowledging He's the Good Shepherd who has given His life for our sake, knowing that He's the one who watches over each one of us. Nothing happens to any one of us in Christ by chance, by coincidence. It is always in the choice, in the will of God. Even as we strive to continue to obediently follow after Him in faithfulness, not in perfectness. And even though times we stumble, we fall, and we do indeed, as we call unto Him, even confessing our sins to Him, His word assures us that He is faithful, He is just, to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That in Christ Jesus, through His righteousness, we stand confidently before God. Never mind what the accusation may be from the enemy, the devil, or the schemes of men that they strive to bring us down in whatever way. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Good Shepherd, and He is here in our midst. Father, we thank you for this blessed time. And through the Son, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize what great privilege we have that He bestowed such love upon each of us. Not desiring that anyone should perish, but through Christ Jesus, by faith, as we receive Him, confessing our sins, and allow His precious blood to cleanse us, to heal us, to reconcile ourselves unto you, given the authority to call children of the living God. What blessing! What spiritual blessings and what goodness that you desire to lavish upon each of us. And yet here we are in this fallen, darkened, sinful world, and we continue to struggle in the flesh. We continue, Lord, to fight against temptations that we face, to stay focused upon you and not be distracted by the glitter and the glamour of life. Lord, we need you. That truly it is through your grace by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Through your word that is the anchor and the foundation of our faith in you and our foundation for life. That not we know what we will be called. We come to seek after you. Seeking first your kingdom, your righteousness. You will add the things that we need in life unto us. You are a good shepherd and you will suffer no lack. So that we pray in you this morning as you renew us. Perhaps for many of us so weighed down by burdens, cares, concerns, the weariness of life, the burdens that we carry, the concerns that we have, the uncertainties that we face. Or even for some of us as we go through life as it were in such a mundane, routine manner, week in, week out, we pray for a refreshing touch of your Spirit and the conviction of your word that will renew us in our faith, our love, and our service unto you. So Lord, come in service your glory in all of us until the world ends. Open our ears to hear. Quieten our hearts that we will receive. And renew our spirits that will be transformed. Especially on this communion Sunday, let it be so much more meaningful as we remember what our renewal, our Savior Jesus, has done for us. And he says, it is finished. Nothing else needs to be added. Nothing else that we need or can do, except by faith through grace, we believe and we receive it. Thank you for the promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining the worship team. This morning I'm not continuing with our current series on the Book of Romans. Actually, it was a chat that triggered it off early in the week. And very coincidentally, again, my sister who regularly every day will post up to brothers and sisters on siblings group a devotion. And I think some of you might be following the same booklet on the daily bread. And the topic is about finding rest and peace in Christ. So I'm at peace really. I thought that, you know, I'll just continue with the series, but we will do that next week. In fact, later on when in the announcements, you know that the next segment that we are covering on is the continued gifts of the Jews, and it's quite an extensive passage, but easy to follow really, and I urge you to read it. But that as we do book series consistently, that is what is going to ground us in the Word of God. And then on occasional times, even like last week when Elder Bunsing and I was speaking somewhere else, I know he brought a message that really challenged many of you and just assured you of your contentment, your all-sufficiency in Christ. So, how did he get to the last page? Have I been waiting all along? Why nobody stopped me? Sorry, I don't know what I meant for. See, what about the sermon? Let's close in prayer. Let's look at moving now. Oh, yeah. Take the reading there is anything out of the sale, isn't it? Okay, never mind. Actually, one reason is you know why I use PowerPoint is that I can't read from the Bible. The print is too small. I cannot take a big Bible because it's too big for me. So, print is too small. Too small or too big, I decide PowerPoint is the way to go. Okay, let me just go back again. Okay. So this morning, I just sense, and also during our prayer meeting on Wednesday, so I have a confirmation with our daily prayer devotional that I mentioned. Hey, I think I know why. I put this on auto change, is it? No. Yeah, I think I might have done that. But never mind, don't worry. Okay, you know, I was going to say that on Wednesday in our prayer meeting, I was really very encouraged when we focused on breakthrough house prayers. There was really a concern for people in the midst that were sick. And even if we can stop the auto timing kind of thing, that would be good, yeah? So I just sense that it might be good that we pause for this Sunday, particularly Holy Communion, having a time for prayer, that we allow the Lord to minister to each one of us in a very, very personal way. Okay, let's mention a lot of this one in my slides. I don't know where this is from. Okay. Okay, the abundant life. This is what Jesus promises us. The thief, Satan, he does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But how many of us would honestly say, yeah, we are living an abundant life? I think we are living very tired lives, very stressful lives, to be honest. And yet this is really the promise of Jesus. What he has come to do, how he is a good shepherd, and how even like we are familiar with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The assurance of God's word concerning all aspects and all areas of life that God watches over us. So what is the abundant life? Or how do you live the abundant life? And I think that to be really, really Bible-based, I said, well, it has to be a life that is lived in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Fullness of the Holy Spirit doesn't have to do with so much of charismatic and Pentecostal emphasis per se. Although those may be areas where we are challenged, we are encouraged to seek after gifts of the Holy Spirit and have them manifest in our lives. But the fullness of the Holy Spirit is really a life where whatever our circumstances, you know it, you feel it, and others somehow can sense it. But then that begs the question, isn't it? How do you see the fullness of the Holy Spirit? How do you know that a person has that fullness of the Holy Spirit? When the first problem that the early church had in Acts chapter 6, and there were some problems, what did the apostles ask the church to do? Appoint to yourself 7 men full of the Holy Spirit. And how do you know that in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? I think the answer really lies in the fruits of the Spirit of God in each of us. The character of the Holy Spirit, who he is, and how he is made manifest in and through our lives. This message is actually a very simple progression of abundant life through fullness of the Holy Spirit as seen in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Okay, there is some problem. I understand Elder Vincent last week was telling me there was also some problem this week with up. Created some equipment, I think we hope to be able to resolve that. Follow these two verses in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I think the last part is very important. Against these 9 attributes of the Holy Spirit, there is no law. What does it mean to say there is no law? Against such things, laws are put in place. Laws are put in place against something. But when you believe this, then if every one of us in the whole world can live with the attributes of the Spirit of God as enumerated for us in these nine areas, you don't need laws. You don't need laws to restrain wrong doing. How to restrain wrong? I mean, of course, we're speaking in a positive way, in a genuine way. If there is too wrong, why would you want to restrain it? You don't restrain peace, you know, how it's a lot of turmoil, a lot of uncertainties, what we are reading, what we are seeing around us. Any of these truths, you don't need laws against them. Laws restrain. Agree? Laws restrain. But against the law, you can also mean that they don't just restrain, but in this way they are repentant. The total law. If really the world can actually live as in the first creation and before the fall, and there was obedience, they wouldn't have been any need for Moses to come with his 10 commandments, the Torah, the law. So this is actually very clearly telling us that these theories of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, that we know them, we cultivate them in our lives, they hold a key. They hold a key to us living abundantly. And again, the word abundantly means no end. God is not going to withhold anything from us. He wants us to experience that abundance in Him. But of course, that's very clear. The definition of abundance would not be our definition, where we say, I want more of everything. I want everything that's good. What enriches me? Wealth. What keeps me in good shape? Our health. No, it's that abundance where you know you have a fullness of God in you. Whatever the state you might be found in, even during times of stress, times of sickness, times of struggles, not just only in good times, but any time. When we really understand this, and that familiar verse, that popular verse that has been constantly voted the most desired verse, and I brought it on the slide, but you are familiar with Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to men who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Cannot be more precise and more absolute than in this verse. God causes all things. He is in control when our lives are in Christ. All things, without exception, whether good or bad, because we love Him and He's fulfilling His purposes in us. So the question of what I'm giving you so far is, God wants us to experience an abundant life. God wants us to have confidence that all things are in His hands, in His absolute control. But how do we live that abundant life? We must grow in the fullness of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Jesus, when He leaves His disciples, He says, I'm not leaving you as orphans, but I'll give you the Holy Spirit. How do you know you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Or how do you cultivate that fullness in your life, in my life? It is for looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, these nine areas. So we look at these nine areas. Okay? In terms of truth, I think this is really human power, putting it at least for myself, in a way that we can better remember these nine attributes and find its relative application in three areas. Joy, love, peace. I'll just switch all a little bit. Love and joy are value one, or switch. Patience, kindness, goodness. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Just change love and joy position. Gentleness and faithfulness in the position. But in our chat, we came to recognize that, you know, putting it this way gives you the picture of a tree, right? Maybe it helps you to remember. One of my brother seems only you can remember is the first three all one word, one syllable word. Love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, two syllables word. And the last one about that, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Three syllables word. Helpful, right? I see some of you are smart again. Good, huh? That's fine. But let me even push you a little further to encourage you to see how this is put in play as we cultivate these attributes of the Spirit in our lives. I suggest that love, joy, peace have to do with our relation with God. It is from God that we experience His love, and He fills us with His joy, and He gives us perfect peace. In fact, all these three attributes, Jesus mentioned them in the last discourse He had with the disciples just before He went away on the cross. Both in the upper room and then as they were going away to the cross, to the Garden of Gethsemane. He talked about those whom the Lord loves, He loves to the very end. He tells us, until now you have not asked anything in my name. Why don't you ask that God may answer you and that your joy may be full? Then He also says, peace I give unto you. These three attributes, these three aspects in our relationship with God will be something that I'll suggest to you help you keep your focus, your balance, and your connection with God. Because these are the areas Satan, the enemy, will come to try to steal or kill this. God really loves you. God loves you and you still have to learn. How can God be able to learn? God wants you joyful, but you're not joyful at all. Every day is a drudgery. It's the same old thing, daily, day out, week in, week out. Peace of looking at the world around us, concerns that we have, anxieties and fears, no peace. But never allow Satan or even the circumstances of the world to deceive us. That God is not loving, God is not a God that wants to give joy, and God is one who will not withhold His peace from you. Next three attributes. Patience, kindness, goodness. I think if you have to remember immediately in your relationship with others, show patience to other people. Oh, we are a very impatient person. We are very smart people. We suffer fools lightly. No time for people, you know, not up to your standard. But here we are. We are called to be patient. Be a patient person. Show patience. Show kindness. Goodness. Some commentators like to differentiate the two by saying kindness is more the attitude, goodness the actions. Kind in heart. To show the good actions that you do. Fine. I think this is open to so-called application. Interpretation, straightforward. Check out the dictionary, you know what the meanings are. But as you apply it in your lives, are you demonstrating that in your relationship with God, His love, His joy, and peace flood and overflow in your life? That's why you feel good. That's why you know you're in God's loving hands and He's in control of all things. In your relationship with others, are you an impatient person? Are you a critical person? Are you a demanding person? I just came to my mind. I remember Uncle Phil first time he attended our prayer meeting years ago on the Wednesday, and he testified that I used to be a CID Christian. Or CID person, wow, wrong, excited, critical, impatient, demanding. Wow, very good now. Now we feel it is compassionate, inspirational, delightful. I don't know what you are changing. I think that's helpful. You change. Now in a way, you live a life and you interact with others. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Another word for gentleness is the word meekness. Blessed are the meek in heart, they shall inherit the world. I read earlier from Matthew chapter 11, before I did the prayer. Come to me, you who are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Learn of me, I am gentle and meek in spirit. Take my yoke, you are going to take any burden. It's light, it's easy. Because God is the one who puts it on you, not you who put it on yourself. So these again are the three areas you can check your life. Do I demonstrate gentleness of heart and spirit? Am I faithful unto God? I can be faithful to so many other things, commitments, and things that I want to pursue after in life. But with God, never mind. Can do good, cannot do good. Is that what it is? That we live our Christian lives? That we can live service only to the Lord. Self-control. Not easy. Always struggling. And actually these things and these thoughts that I've shared with you are also very much in line with the book of Romans that we've been talking about, and which we'll cover shortly in due course. But let me suggest to you, have you seen what it is to have the abundant life? That it is demonstrated as you display the fullness of the Spirit of God in you. And that fullness is seen in the nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit in you. I suggest to you that peace perhaps is the strongest undergirding attribute of all. It is the most important, so to speak. Don't take my word for it. This is just me sharing with you and encouraging you to this message. God probably will encourage you and challenge you in various other areas of life. But why do I say peace? Because without peace, the foundation is easily shaken. I think of two things. The first Christmas day. In heaven, they rejoice, they proclaim, glory to God in the highest. That's what's happening in heaven. The worship, high praise, glory to God. But on earth, peace and goodwill to all men. And I say, on earth, blessings upon blessings and upon blessings. Peace. Because we are in a world that is in turmoil. Because we do not have the peace with God. Cannot experience at all the peace of God. When you don't have peace in your life, you are not going to operate well. No two ways about it. Because you are very, very unsettled, easily agitated, confused. Go through your problem over and over again, not finding an answer. You know, one of the indications that we use when we seek to know God's will and to do it, it's the Word of God. It's a counsel of men and women, godly men and women. It's the circumstances that we see and we say, yeah, God seems to be leading us in this way. But perhaps the strongest conviction is the contentment, the sense of satisfaction, the sense of, I have peace of God. Amen? A lot of us make decisions that way. No two ways about it. I felt, and I know feelings can be very subjective and dangerous if abused. But in good faith, you seek God in prayer. When the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. Why so? Because when you delight in the Lord, it means you delight in Him, you delight in His word, you delight in obeying Him. But whatever your desires will be, actually the desires of God Himself put in you, it will come to pass. So let me go back to what I just said earlier. Why peace? Because first Christmas Day, when angels were declaring the birth of Jesus, glory to God in the highest, honor, peace, and goodwill to men. Second, what we recognize is this, isn't it? You see in the writings of the Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers, their greetings is always grace and peace. Other things also there. They talk about shalom. You read each other peace. I talk to people I do not know, you know, in the marketplace and all. uncles, aunties, just that pengan. Wow, you can sense that's so different, you know? Telling them something, wishing them something that you know they and every one of us really sit up there. Simple, as I said earlier, is if there is no peace, there's no sense of strength, steadfastness, assurance. And so we make all kinds of mistakes, we are never happy. And therefore, if this anchor is really being seen and experienced in our lives, even through the words of Christ, we'll sung that in songs today this morning. Jesus mentioned these two verses. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I mentioned that this was the cornerstone, the keystone of Jesus' message. You go back and read from chapter 14 all the way to his prayer in chapter 17. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, now believe also in me, Jesus says. Be good, not so good about the verse. It's difficult because Jesus was speaking to his Jewish disciples. He was speaking to an audience that believing in God is never the issue. They are not atheists. They know God, the Hebrew God. But Jesus says, now, you believe in God, but believe also in me. And then later on, in the sixth chapter, he says, peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Some of us, I dare say, we do in some ways in my own life also. We feel troubled. We feel troubled. I feel very troubled with this troubled world. Huh? This world that, you know, as I look at it, and I share with you, even years back, for many years, when friends try to teach me, say, oh, why you seem to have been having everything, but we are not very far yet. We are one up on you. It just occurred. Just never open my mind, I need to be a grandparent. I worry about the grandchildren they come along. And they got humorous. Don't be he gave to at one time. 4 years apart. COVID season somehow, right at the midst. First person to catch COVID was my first granddaughter, October of 2020. I have okay, I said, then now I'm got third one, fourth one my first grace and Israel, fourth one come. God reminds me. We are not your children, we are not your own children. But yes, looking at the world, in fact there are people who say, wow, look at the world, I think I better keep dogs and cats off. Easier, right? Why bring the children to this sort of suffer? I feel that sentiment, I can understand the sentiment. But I better surrender my sentiments and my feelings to God and not be troubled. What about other things in your life? Crisis that you face, tragedies as you call them, passing on of loved ones, all this that will immediately challenge, hey, God good or not? Can God be good? But trouble, you want to live a testimony for Jesus? Jesus says, peace I live unto you. Not as the world is, because the world's peace is very, very fully, not faithful. The world cannot give the kind of peace that we need to experience in Christ Jesus. Jesus further down, as I say, you read from John chapter 14, 16, close to his prayer in 17. These things I have spoken to you. John 14, beginning John 16, 33, towards the end of his teaching. These things I have spoken to you, that in you may have peace. Did he say? I say this to you, so that you will have wonderful blessings. You will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. Take courage, in other words, he says, because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. Satan denies it. Satan distorts it. Satan tries to deceive us. But Jesus says, no, I say these things to you that you may have peace. So are there other areas in your life right now that you feel you don't have a sense of peace? Maybe some impending situation or decision that you have made or development that you anticipate that can cause big turmoil in your life, a big shift. How to overcome these things? You overcome your intellect, your intelligence. You overcome your resources, like money, maybe money can solve the problem. You overcome your position in life, like influence. I can settle this. We have all our man-made approaches to try to solve these things. But Jesus has already given us the assurance of victory in Him and peace and contentment through Him. So these two verses, I hope you etch it in your heart. Keep it in your heart. Memorize it. Trust God for His words. Trust Jesus in His promises. And stand firm in those promises. But the Apostle Paul also writes to us concerning peace. And we are familiar with this passage, isn't it? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where the whole of Philippians is about rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Hey, how to rejoice? Just had a very bad episode in my life. All the history in my life, in the life of a loved one, I don't find joy. That's why I say peace is perhaps more important in the sense than love and joy. Love, you feel good when you experience it, but when you don't have it, you still must feel at peace. Joy, you can have it all the time. Bad situations are only really when you're rejoicing in it. Paul even said, rejoice for everything. You don't rejoice for the sin that you do. You don't rejoice for the tragedies and the wrong things that have been done in it. You rejoice in the circumstances, because in Christ you are more than victorious. So love and joy are wonderful, but peace undergirds everything. Peace undergirds also your relationship with other people. You show patience to them, they don't respond correctly in the way that they expect. You are at peace. You've done what you can. You can only respond to your own thoughts and your own actions. You just got to leave the other person to grab hold of his or hers. You do acts of kindness and goodnesses. They don't appreciate so much. I do it out of a higher motive, a higher love in Christ. You struggle in self-control. You struggle in being meek and gentle. You struggle in being not faithful. You stumble. You fall. You confess. You come under the blood of Jesus. He restores us. That's what it is. And so Paul now gives us the other application. That when we pray, I say, prayer is not about informing God. And then he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't even be anxious about anything. Don't even be unnecessarily riled up, as it were. Whether it's Satan who's trying to rile you up, or me trying to make life difficult for you. You know these external influences. To judge you as it were. But even in spite of this, your heart is secure in Christ. You're not anxious. Because in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Again, the offer is set of peace. Let your request be made known. Doesn't mean that you say prayer is not about informing God, prayer is not about instructing God, but let your prayer, your request be made known is really more for yourself to release, let go. Which is right now. I was thinking of overhead meeting. Overhead was 1 hour. And I mentioned just a while ago. Last Wednesday, prayer meeting. We pray for a list of all that we know in our midst who are sick, not well. And I remember Mother William was sitting there, his words about the breakthrough. Sense of the bring breakthrough for him. I think occasionally we need to remember that. Because we either otherwise just go about many ways, you know, just ignoring. But then if something hits us, we don't know. We are a work of God. We are not prepared. We are just for nothing. Surrender all God. And it is God's work to put the peace in you. Not your creator of peace. My peace I give unto you. You cannot earn it. You cannot create it. I give it to you. It's a gift. And with any gift you accept with heart of gratitude. And then with a perfect deep assurance in the Lord Himself. So this morning is a message that I pray that it will minister to you at a personal level. Some of you perhaps, as I mentioned earlier, with issues, struggles that you face, concerns that you have. Some of you anxious, fearful even of things to come. I have a lot of things I'm in a sense fearful of. I have a lot of things I don't think they are in place as I would like to see them in place. I have people that I want to reach out to, but don't seem to somehow be able to find. And sometimes if I think I try more worse, I'm convinced of human efforts are not necessary in that regard. But how can I therefore go on in the confidence in the Lord, in the genuineness of faith and love? I'm guided. This in reference is the last verse I will talk about, because our current series on the book of Romans is what is going to lead to ultimately this. Having known that all have sinned fallen short of the glory of God, knowing that the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. But now, what does that mean to an eternal life? Having therefore been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God again. Not blessings in ways that we say, I want to believe in Jesus, I come to church because He will take place for my sicknesses and the sicknesses of my loved ones. God's provision comes pouring down from heaven when I have need. So, no, you need peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then with the peace with God, through the same Jesus, we have access by faith into what? Into His grace and His death. And we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The Christian faith is a faith of tremendous blessings in God. But the blessings are not necessarily the material, physical, tangible, temporal ones that we are talking about. It is the fullness of abundance living through Christ Jesus through His Spirit. I trust that what I've so far will have spoken all of us. And many of us, perhaps in some very specific areas, issues in our life. Well, I conclude with one area of challenge. I've been thinking of how to phrase this for a while, but I think this might be as good as it can go. Would you ask God to know what is the right thing to do? And then for His peace to dare to do it? I hope you take some time to digest this question. Why I ask you to consider this question? Because either many of us are just running away from doing the right thing. We know that's the right thing to do, we don't want to do it. Or we know the right thing to do, God shows you clearly. Whatever it is in your life He wants you to do, that will be a testimony and a blessing to His name and blessings on yourself and others. But you dare not do it. God may be asking you to deal with your possessions and your wealth in ways that you don't realize how they can impact so many other people, even your very own loved ones, family members, and so on and so forth. Not my children won't be, because now we've got this man who goes around the estate collecting calumny, right? And he'll come to my house, and once a week he'll ring a bell, and if I'm not there, little by little, he's resting at some place, just give him a $10. That's all. Go to the market, hawker centre now, I see the auntie cleaning. You always talk about first world war, first world country in Singapore, but old people are cleaning. When our mission partners from Thailand came, the pastor asked him, hey pastor, I was sent out of place here. Coffee shops, hawker centre, you know, old people are very embarrassed. Huh? People get them. Give them money. Hey, too much, $10, too much. I'm not saying I'm a rich guy, but serious young, there's an extra $10 in your pocket means nothing to you. But just somehow give them away. Wow, it makes the day for the person. If I can make him happy, then Ping An. Ping An, I'm not that in a good way. Do you have the sense of what is to be done? If you don't have, ask for a problem. You're making a decision. You're trying to solve a problem. You're grappling with an issue. Maybe involving people. So confused. You don't have a piece of work, you accept it. You have a piece of work, you look and see and consider to God's testimony. And you say, this is the thing to do. And you do it. But maybe even having found the right thing to do, you may be struggling with doing it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But do I do it? That is really the bigger question. God says you can, but I feel will not. So that is our struggle. So God says, as I close this message, I just go back a quick review of the promise of God that He says He has come in Christ Jesus to give us life, eternal life, and life is abundance to live to the fullness. We say that is only, that can only be lived through the fullness of the Spirit of Jesus. And is demonstrated through the fruit, attributes of the Holy Spirit. And the other areas of attributes in relation to God, others, itself, I'm suggesting you, underlining, undergirding it all, is the peace of God that we need to have. Because the peace of God will guide you to do the right thing. And the peace of God will not only just guide, it will also guide you against the attacks of the enemy and of people and of contrary circumstances that may befall upon our lives. Let's prepare our hearts at this time, even as we on this first Sunday of the month again to come and celebrate the Holy Communion. And just ask the worship team to come. Perhaps you think this song that we sang earlier, your steadfast love extends to the heavens. Let's all stand together. We sang it earlier. It's the second song that we sang in our time of worship. And let this be a song of response, a song of prayer, a song of preparation as we come before God to partake of our holy life. Just to the world. burst through the roof. Worries and sores and great pain on his physical body. And was asked to not keep his integrity but to curse God and die. And his response was that we only accept good things from God and not evil. The Bible clearly records that in all these things, Job did not hold a charge against God, neither did he sin